Hello, everyone. Feels weird to be standing up here, but you know I have this crutch, and I can't, so I hope you'll forgive me. And if anybody wants to move forward, feel free to move forward, and if you're happy where you are, stay where you are. I just will say before we start, this night, Ash Wednesday, and basically the way we'll end the service with the ashes on the forehead, if you want, and communion are always the two places that I feel most connected to God. I know in our tradition, the ashes are not a sacrament, but they feel that way to me. So I'm glad you're all here, and I hope you experience tonight in a meaningful way. So welcome, Ash Wednesday, and thank you very much for being here tonight. Ash Wednesday is the first day of the 40 days of Lent, and Lent starts tonight, basically in darkness. But the entire 40 days of Lent are a movement from dark to light. And as on all journeys, all movements, there are highs and there are lows. By tradition, Ash Wednesday is a somber service, but it is not, I hope, a depressing one. And so just to prepare ourselves for, kind of set ourselves, we're going to watch a short film titled Returning to the Hands That Formed Us.
Blow the trumpet. Not in the streets, but in the quiet chambers of your heart. Let the sound awaken what slumbers, the forgotten longing to be whole. Today, the darkness comes not to destroy, but to reveal. The shadows on the mountain speak of grace, a grace that calls you back, not with fury, but with tenderness. Return to me with all your heart, whispers the one who formed you. Not in grand gestures, but in the tearing of your spirit. The breaking open of your heart's hidden places. Let your fasting unbind the oppressed. Let your prayers rise like the dawn. Not for show, but for the healing of the world and of your own soul. Where the ashes fall, may seeds of mercy grow. The Holy One does not desire perfection, but presence. No sacrifice, but the willingness to be remade. To trust the hands that formed you. To surrender to the mystery of grace. To become a repairer of the breach. A restorer of streets to live in. So walk this road, not with bowed heads of shame, but with hearts lifted in surrender. For where your treasure is, there too is your hope. Go now, beloved, into the sacred dark, where the Spirit stirs the dust into new life. Blow the trumpet in Zion, a song of return, a melody of mercy, a hymn of becoming.
Lent is an invitation to the immense love of God. It's about recognizing all the life-draining ways that we seek substitutes for God's love. for God's kingdom. The things that keep us from delighting in God's love and his grace and his shalom. Lent is about turning toward God's love the same way plants and animals and humans respond to the growing light of spring, delighting in newness and sensing new life. And Lent is also a paradoxical time, both inward and outward looking, feelings of joy and sorrow. Lenten themes include seeming opposites, bright sadness, luminous darkness, letting go and taking up. This day, Ash Wednesday, is the most honest of days. It is a day when we choose to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is a day when we are reminded of something our culture denies and something we rarely talk about, that our days are limited and that we have made a mess of things. But the hard truth of Lent is actually a blessing because it reminds us of the truth. A blessing because Lent helps us to deconstruct the lies that we tell ourselves or that the world tells us. Lent invites us to live in all that is real, all that is happening, all that has happened to us. So tonight, through music and images and the comforting presence of each other in this room, we're going to listen for God's voice calling us to look inward and outward at our lives and at ourselves. And I want to say unequivocally that tonight is not about shame or guilt. That is not the point. This evening, we will acknowledge that we have missed the mark and chosen what does not bring life, which is what sin means. And repent means to turn toward God, to realign ourselves with the Holy One. And there is nothing shameful about reaching for God. We are already forgiven, already assured of God's unfailing love for us. And tonight you're going to hear my understanding of Lent, but I am not imposing my meaning on you. I encourage you to explore the significance and meaning of Ash Wednesday and Lent for yourselves. And now, another little film. And in this film, we are invited to acknowledge that we often hide ourselves from God and from each other. And then after the film, I'm not going to get up, but we'll sit in silence for a few minutes, and there will be some words on the screen for us to ponder.
The silence between our hearts. go safely through the morning. I'll show you my heart. You whisper through the dark and well. Go safely.
That's a lot of questions, isn't it? Tonight, this evening, as we journey from darkness to light, we trust that God is here holding us. And there's one word I would have changed in that film that we saw. Can we dare to bear ourselves to God, bring ourselves to God, hoping that he'll take us as we are? I would change that to knowing that he will take us as we are. Each one of us most likely carries grief, sorrow that perhaps has gone unexpressed or been stifled or numbed. Each of us has been touched by pain and suffering at some time, job loss, a broken relationship, health issues, death of a loved one. And each one of us has likely inflicted pain and suffering on someone else. I know I have, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not. And in addition to what's going on with us personally, our country is struggling. And global politics and competing interests of nations worldwide are hurting people. Environmental destruction, a polarized nation, wars and violence, ongoing racism, concerns about democracy, hostility between people of opposing viewpoints, and hostility even among people who share the same faith, just to name a few of the overwhelming issues that we face. As you contemplate this image, name the grief or the sorrows that you are carrying tonight. The churchy word for articulating grief and sorrow is lament. Lament is a powerful and needed expression of grief and sorrow and even regret, but one we often avoid because it is uncomfortable or we don't understand how it works, why we should do it, or even how to do it. I'm going to quote from an essay written by an artist, Christine Walters Painter, in which she discusses the words and the thoughts of the theologian Walter Brueggemann. She wrote, "People only dare to envision a new reality when they've been able to grieve, to scream out, to let loose the cry that has been stuck in their throats for so long. That cry, the expression of that grief, is the most visceral announcement that things are not right. Only then can we begin to nurture, nourish, and evoke a new vision. We so desperately need a new way of seeing the world." Lament opens us up to a new vision of how God is present to us in our suffering. In lament, we call on the God who weeps with us, whose groans are our own, and we express our hope in God's tender care. Lament isn't weakness. Lament is a form of resistance. It begins by challenging the way things are. Lament tells the truth. Lament declares that something is not right in the world. This pain, this suffering should not be. Lament helps us to name the lies we have been living in and participating in. And lament connects us with those who are suffering and schools us in compassion. Only when we have become familiar with the landscape of our own pain can we then enter the suffering of another. Lament moves us beyond our own narrow perspectives. In lament, we help give voice to the oppressed, to hidden suffering, the suffering and silence that happens because pain takes all language away. Lament is personal, but it is also the work of the community, because together we say that the pain is being heard, that it is valid. We are saying that there is suffering worth weeping over. And finally, in lament, we invite God's shalom, God's reconciling, healing, transforming power for ourselves, for our communities, and for this world. So for just a few moments, ask yourself, how does the practice of lament resonate with you? And how might you incorporate lament into your relationship with God? The desert, or the wilderness, is an often used image for Lent, in part because we so often hear about Lent as a time when we give up everything fun and frivolous and instead suffer for 40 days, which is neither an accurate nor helpful way of understanding Lent. The image of the desert evokes the 40 days that Jesus spent there, and his sojourn in the desert recalls the 40 years the Hebrews spent there. Scripture tells us the desert is a place of testing, but that God also cares for those in the desert. Some of us have been in a spiritual desert, or a relational desert, or some other metaphorical desert. Some of us have experienced the desert more than once. Some of us feel now or have felt dried up, ill-used, or abandoned. But the desert experience can be a blessing, because as we let go of more and more of what keeps us away from God, or prevents us from seeing God at work in our lives, or as we deal with our doubts about who God is, if we tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves, if we get angry with God or lament to God about God, we find God there in the desert. In the wilderness of Lent, we are invited to surrender to the leading of the Spirit, but we rarely enter the desert willingly. Lent, however, is intended to teach us to walk toward an always hidden future, a future known to God, but unknown to us. When we remember who we are and whose we are, we can walk toward this unknown future expectantly, acknowledging our vulnerability and our need for God, knowing that the God who summons us is also the God who walks with us. So how does this image speak to you about the desert as a metaphor for Lent? These two images, they speak to me of the entire Lenten season. The one on the left reminds me of a well-loved lyric from a Leonard Cohen song, "Ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. But maybe the image speaks to you in a different way. And the one on the right reminds me that Ash Wednesday heralds the transition of winter into spring, a time of change in the seasons. Creeks and streams will soon fill with water as snow in the Sierras melts. Days will become longer and warmer. Bare branches will bud with new green growth. Dry, papery bulbs that lie dormant for months in the ground will begin to pop up with soft, fragile leaves and vibrant green stems. Birds will sing in trees as they look for mates and build nests. Animals come out of hibernation with their young. New life, new beginnings. Creation shows us, illustrates, demonstrates, and even enacts for us that newness happens over and over and over again. That resurrection is always on the horizon. Newness, restoration, metamorphosis, and recreation are built into this world. So how do these images speak to you of what might be possible for you this Lenten season? Now we come to the part of this evening where we do something that we most likely would not do unless there was a day set aside for it. We focus on our own mortality, that our days on earth will come to an end. We focus on the truth that we are prone to wander away from God and that we need a Savior. God made us. We are created from dust, and we will one day return to dust. There is a close connection between creation and redemption. God created us, loves us, and is remaking us in the image of his Son. This part of the evening involves the imposition of the ashes. What does it mean to have the ashes placed on your forehead in the shape of a cross. Well, for centuries, churches all over the world have waved palm branches on Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. And then they are collected and they are burned and become the ash that we place on our foreheads. The branches that were waved to honor the King of Kings are turned to ash and become the sign of our desire to return to God. The sign that we do not always recognize the Holy One, that we miss the mark, we turn away from God, that we don't see God at work in our lives and in the world. The ashes signify that we sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, participate and benefit from the unjust systems in the world. The ashes signify that we recognize that we have failed to love our neighbor, failed to love our God. And they also remind us that we are in Christ, dying and rising as Jesus did. The ashes also mean that we feel our humanity, our humanness, that we recognize that we are creatures created from the Creator's breath and love, shaped from the very material of this earth and the stars. The ashes symbolize our finitude. They symbolize our dependence on God, that we are walking in this world with dirty faces, not hiding or faking anything. And the ashes also boldly proclaim that we are God's, claimed by Him and loved by Him. The cross on our skin is our yes to God's love for us. And He wants us to walk in the world saying no to that which would slow our steps and saying yes to that which would fill our hearts and our actions with love for God and others. To reach for the kind of Lent that prepares our hearts for a Savior who Himself rises from the ashes of death and injustice to bring a new life of restorative justice and shalom for all. Well, how does this work? When you come up, I'll stand down there. I'm going to make the sign of the cross on your forehead. I don't know how that turned out. It might be helpful if you close your eyes when I do that, just in case the ashes fall into your eyes. And then return to your seat, and then we'll close. And when you come up, I will say to you the traditional words, remember that you were created from dust and will return to dust, but I'll also tell you something else. And if you don't want to come up for the ashes, that's totally fine. You don't need to. Thank you. Ash Wednesday is a counter-cultural holy day, and Lent is a counter-cultural season. On this day, and during these few weeks of bright sadness, we will tell the truth about ourselves, our lives, and about this world, trusting, knowing that at the end of it all, we will fall into the arms of God, the one who knows the far end of pain and evil, knows death from inside and out in ways we cannot fathom. And with this humble and resilient truth-telling act, together we will find endless kindness and welcome from the one in whom love never, never ends. Thank you for choosing to be here tonight. There'll be cookies and coffee out there if you like, but let's close in prayer. Gracious God, out of your love and your wisdom, you breathed into the dust of the earth your breath of life, creating us to love you and love our neighbors. Jesus, open our minds and our hearts and our hands. Help us to know the joy and the delight of holding tightly to your hand as we walk in the world. Amen. Thank you for being here.